Online with me right now, the man you know as Tommy Thayer, the lead guitarist of KISS. Tommy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us here today.
Hey, Chili, it's great to be with you. How you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Let's start with, obviously, KISS is coming to town, Huntington, September 10th. We are extremely excited about this. As long as I've been here at this radio station, there have been people talking about KISS back in the day, back in the 70s when they came here. So the excitement is real. What made KISS decide to come back to the small towns, if you will?
Well, you know, we were looking at what we were going to do this year, and we decided we got to go to some places and some markets that we haven't been to in a while, because there's people that want to see KISS just as much, if not more, there than anywhere else. So it was time to do it, and just we picked a selection of some great places that we thought would really go well and have some great shows inside in the arenas instead of out in the amphitheaters like a lot of people do in the summer. So it's a great schedule. We're really looking forward to it, and Huntington, for instance, is a place that is going to rock hard, because you might not get all the groups coming through, but this time you got KISS, and it's just the biggest show that people have seen. So it's something we're looking forward to.
We definitely appreciate every show that comes to town. And yes, KISS, without a doubt, I told you as we started, I actually have been a fan since probably about the age of 8. And I have taken many people to their very first KISS concerts, people that weren't even necessarily KISS fans. And what I love about the KISS concert is that it is just a show unlike any other show there is. You don't have to be a KISS fan to walk in and enjoy it. But if you are, you know about the excitement, and it just, it is a spectacle, without a doubt.
Well, it is. You know, it's a show that, and it's a band that, if you haven't ever seen it, it's something you have to experience and see and hear at least once in your lifetime. And, you know, it's an interesting thing I was thinking earlier about, you know, how many great bands like KISS on this level are still really, you know, in the mix, you know, and out playing at this level anymore. I mean, KISS has really stood the test of time, and I think that speaks to, you know, what we're about. And these days there's fewer and fewer big bands still out there doing this on this level and kicking ass like KISS is. So, we take a lot of pride in that. And like I said, I think the track record really speaks for itself. The show that we're going to bring out is one of, if not the biggest show we've toured with, and not because we're playing some smaller cities and things, it doesn't mean we're not going to bring the full arsenal and all the everything we got. So it's going to be a big show.
We are definitely excited about it. Now, there are other things to talk about in the KISS universe. I didn't know that you produced it, but there's a new movie coming out called KISS Rocks Vegas. It's going to be through Fathom Entertainment. It's going to be happening May 25th. I believe we have a date here in Barbersville for that. Now, like I said, I just found out that you produced this, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's the film's called, it's a concert film, KISS Rocks Vegas. About a year and a half ago, we did a residency in Las Vegas, meaning that we played a string of shows there over the course of several weeks. We filmed two of the shows because we thought this is something we really need to capture because it's great, and we need to capture it for posterity. And so we filmed two shows, and obviously it turned out really well, and we worked on putting together a concert film. I produced it, so what that means is after the filming's done, we go into the editing studio and I just drive the process, really, and make sure it's everything we want it to be, creatively and direction-wise, and making sure that it looks right and sounds right and that sort of thing. So it turned out really, really well, and it's like you mentioned, it's going to debut in the theaters on May 25th. It's 1,000 theaters worldwide, so this is just not North America or U.S. This is a worldwide release, and then not long after, sometime later this summer, I believe, it will be released as a DVD and Blu-ray as well. But you got to see it on the big screen. You know, there's nothing like that unless you're going to see the band live, and then that's a whole other thing as well.
Well, that's it. You get the best of both worlds. You get to see the whole show, but you get to sit there with a bucket of popcorn and take it in. And I was actually excited about that before the show was announced. I saw that was coming. I'm like, ooh, that better come around here because, you know, it's just another unique way to see KISS.
It really is. And for the younger people or people that haven't seen a KISS show before, it's something you need to take in. It's a one-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. Special event too. It's not just a concert, these kind of things turn into almost a party atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everybody's dressed up, and it's a lot of fun. And we get off on that too, because you know what the audience does, what the fans do, drives us as well. So good energy.
Well, the movie approach is also something different, because you really can take your family of all ages. There may be people out there that don't feel their children are ready to experience a concert kind of thing. This you can actually do this in the right. The safety of a movie theater. So
yeah. But it's not to say that kids shouldn't go to the live concert too, because
no doubt.
Really, these days it's meant for everybody, and you know, it's an amazing show. And again, like I said, Kiss has weathered the storm. You know, we're survivors, and there's not many people that can say and do what Kiss has done.
I still remember the I saw the reunion tour when they first put makeup back on in Boston, and a sold out arena, and there the levels of generations just blew me away, because it was from the smallest kid to the oldest adult, everyone in makeup and ever just enjoying all is that is Kiss.
Well, that's the funny thing. I was at that show in Boston, and every night when we come on stage, when the screen drops. And we're there playing the first song. You know, I immediately look out at the faces of the people in the crowd, and it's all the biggest smiles on the faces that you've ever seen. You know, so you can just see that the great, you know, positive spirit and the rock and roll energy is just purveying through the crowd, and people are just smiling, and then they love it, and it's a cool thing. It's very, 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 very positive and very. Very high energy.
It definitely is that. It's exciting. My biggest memory, I was front row in 98 to 99, the New Year's Eve show in Detroit. That was my favorite of all time right there. You actually bring up the fact that you were around at the reunion show. If you've got more time, I want to ask you a couple more questions. One of them is, a lot of people don't realize how much of the, you've been in part of the Kiss family since really the late 80s when you helped start putting the Kissology books together.
You're right. You know your stuff.
Oh, there. I'm a Kiss fan. I told you.
It was the Kistry books.
That's right. Yes, Kistry.
We've done a DVD. It's called Kistry. But yeah, that was one of the first things. You know, back in the 80s, I had a band, Black and Blue, and a lot of people know of that band. But we were opening for Kiss back over 30 years ago, actually, on the Asylum Tour, 1985. And that's when I met Paul and Gene and Eric Carr, who was the drummer at the time, and, of course, the great Bruce Kulick, who was a fantastic guy and great guitar player. But anyway, back then we met them, and they kind of took us under their wing, and Gene ended up producing a couple of our records for the band, Black and Blue, and then after that ran its course, I started working for these guys behind the scenes, like you mentioned, back in the early 90s, and started working on Kistry, essentially almost like as a photo editor, and I was thrilled at the time, because I needed a job, and to be working for Kiss was a cool thing, so I worked behind the scenes, and ended up progressively doing more, and doing video production and all these types of things, and going on the tours, helping with the tour management. And, you know, they did the reunion, like you said, in 96, 97. That was a big deal. And, you know, but things kind of went full circle again, and with personality issues and all kinds of different things, I ended up being the guitar player in the band about 14 years ago. And so I'm always kind of considered the new guy, like the Ronnie Wood of Kiss. But I've been doing it for quite a long time now, and I have been around the organization for quite a long time, and so I know it pretty well inside out, and I guess that's why I do all these things.
It is amazing you say that. It's like you are considered the new guy in Kiss, but you're right. It has been that much time. I've read all the books, but I recently read Paul's book, which really just blew me away. He just... his book was so open and honest, and really I found out things about the band that I didn't even know as the Uber fan, and he had such high praise of you and how much you did and how much you helped and how little you asked for. So as a fan, I want to thank you for that, for really helping, you know, truthfully, keep Kiss together and then continuing its evolution, if you will.
Well, definitely it's great to be part of the story and part of this great story that continues to evolve, because Kiss has been doing this for over 40 years now, and again, you know, you can't argue with the testimonial of a track record and how the band has been so successful over time and continues to do that on the same level, if not even bigger. So I'm proud to be doing it, and I feel like I'm lucky in a lot of ways, or just fortunate. But, you know, then again, you know, I've worked really hard, and I've always persevered and stuck my nose to the grindstone. And I think that's important. You just have to put a lot of effort into what you do to make things happen sometimes. So it's worked out.
Now, I know you've been a Kiss fan, so a couple quick questions. What would be your favorite Kiss song?
That's a tough one because there's so many of them.
True.
You know. I'd say if I had to pick one, maybe Black Diamond.
Oh, that's one of my favorites, too. Can't go wrong with that. What about maybe a favorite Kiss memory before you were actually in it and then one since?
Well, you know, I don't want to go back too far, but, you know, when I was a kid, I was a big Kiss fan, which is it's ironic that everything's come full circle on this. But back in 1975, 76, I saw Kiss play a couple times in Portland, Oregon, where I grew up. And if you would have told me when I was standing at that concert, you know, loving this band, that I would someday be in the band as the lead guitarist for, you know, for a long period of time like I have been, I never would have believed you.
Yeah.
I just never would have believed it.
That's too cool. That's extremely cool. So we all know Gene Simmons, he likes to flick that tongue and whatnot, and I know for a fact he's licked your neck more than once or twice in a show. The first time that happened.
Unfortunately, that's true.
What was your thought the first time that happened?
Well, he's funny, you know, because, you know, you're up on stage, and a lot of times I'll share a mic with him if we're singing some backgrounds in a song. And if you ever take a close look at Gene, he's constantly slobbering, I guess. It's like a mastiff dog, you know, with just drool and gunk and blood and everything, you know, constantly coming all over, you know, out of his mouth. And so if you're close to him, it can be, you know, a very kind of undesirable thing to be next to because he's drooling all over you suddenly. And I look down at my arms, my face. I've got all this crap all over me. So it's that's just part of the job, I guess, and part of what we do. But it's kind of fun though too. But he's always coming over and, you know, licking me on the neck or biting my my outfit or doing something crazy or trying to grab me, you know, down below and
inappropriately.
He's a goofball, you know, and especially on stage, you know, he's just crazy. It's funny, when Gene gets into makeup and gets on stage and into character, he's just completely, he's a maniac. He turns into a completely different person, and it's really kind of funny. I mean, we get a kick out of it. I laugh at it, but it's he's definitely a showman, and that's Gene Simmons.
That is so great. All right, one last question, and this would be a little bit of a curveball kind of thing. So just curious what your take is on Axl now joining AC/DC. I bring this up to you because you became that guy that replaced a legend in a band, so you would have a unique perspective, I would think.
Well, I do. I've lived all this stuff for a while, too. I think that if AC/DC wants Axl to sing, I think it's great. You know, Axl's obviously... you know, he's Axl, and it's not like he's a nobody or something.
Very true.
And quite honestly, I was watching some footage on YouTube the other day of, you know, Angus got up and played with Guns N' Roses, I think, in Las Vegas at one of their shows they did a week or two ago, and he sounded great. They did a couple AC/DC songs, and I thought it sounded killer. So I'm all for it. You know, I think that people have to be a little bit open, you know, as the great bands continue to grow and time goes on, you know, sometimes things like that have to, you know, you have to be open to it if you want to still see the band play, and the band should continue to play. It's not like if somebody leaves the band then it's over or something. It's more than just the individuals. It's the sum of the parts, and that's what makes bands great. And, you know, even in the case of Kiss, there's been changes in Kiss, as you know, mm-hmm. through the years, and right now, you know, in the makeup characters, you know, we've changed, obviously, with myself and Eric Singer being in the band, and you know what, people still love it. Of course, there's always a few people that are going to complain about everything, but it's, for the most part, it works really well. I mean, we play shows, arenas, stadiums on tour, and people go crazy, and there's a lot of young fans who don't know the difference between, you know, if it's Tommy or Ace or what it is.
Yeah.
But people just love Kiss, and they love seeing that show, and they love the music and hearing it performed by the band, and you know, I don't get too caught up in all that stuff. I think And I think that, you know, rock and roll is the kind of thing where you need to keep an open mind.
Is that the truth?
And yeah. It's just, you know, you do what you do. So it's cool.
Well, you bring up that fan reaction. I would think that most of these, because, I mean, as a Kiss purist, I understand what people are thinking about with Ace and Peter. But I also know that I've seen you and Eric multiple times. And the fact is, you kill it on stage. You are an incredible guitarist, and there's a reason why you're in the band. I would think that
I think that's true.
And I would think that I would hope that most of the negative reaction is all social media and that stuff. I would think that anybody coming in the show and actually doing meet and greet or getting to see you, you don't get any that negativity much around you in the true to life force stuff, right?
It's a good point. You never see it. You really don't. And, you know, social media and the blogs and all this, that's a whole culture in itself.
People love to complain about anything.
They complain about everything and anything, so it's definitely not something you even pay attention to.
Okay.
Certainly don't take personally, because it's more the culture of people with chips on their shoulders, and this is their way to lash out at things sometimes and make themselves feel better, but it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. You know,
Because at the end of the day, they have the ultimate choice. If they don't want to see you on stage, then they don't have to buy a ticket to go to the show. But the rest of us, we will enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So September 10th.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. September 10th, you guys will be in Huntington.
We're going to be there.
And May 25th, the Fathom event, Kiss Rocks Vegas. And of course, what's that?
I said Kiss Rocks Vegas on the big screen.
Oh, yes, on the big screen. Tommy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. We can't wait to see you in September. Of course, we'll see you on the big screen again May 25th through the Fathom events. Thank you for, you know, being part of KISS and continuing the band that we all know and love so much.
That's great, Jilly. I sure appreciate it. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody out there in Huntington September 10th. We're really looking forward to it. Can't wait.